All right, how many nuggets do you think you can eat in one sitting?
Oh my gosh, I don't know. I'll say 28.
Ooh,
no.
You're Hercules, man.
Kevin Sorbo is to Hollywood what Chick-fil-A is to the fast food industry. He's an incredibly hard worker, displays love and kindness, holds his faith proudly, and this guy can knock back some nuggets. Today on the podcast, Kevin Sorbo. Hey there, welcome to My Pleasure, the unofficial Chick-fil-A podcast. I'm your host, Allison Storm. I'm joined by Jim Mann, who I'm sure gets mistaken for Hercules quite often.
All the time, not just often, all the time. It could be because I'm always taking on, you know, three-headed monsters and stuff like that, but that's just a way of life for me, Allison.
What a burden that must be to shoulder.
It is. Big shoulders, though.
Well, while I would love to discuss the similarities between Jim and Kevin Sorbo in more depth, let's give people what they really want. Ladies and gentlemen, Hercules! Thank you so much for joining us, Kevin Sorbo.
Very, very good to be here, and I hope everyone's having a great day already.
Yeah, Kevin, you've been taking on some really big opponents as Hercules, but... not only can I relate with you in that area, being a Hercules type of guy myself, but I have a 27-year-old who lives in Nashville. But then this year, I'm going to have a 19-year-old, a 17-year-old, and a 13-year-old. Two of them are girls, three teenagers. And I understand you also have three teenagers?
I do. My oldest just turned 19, and I've got a 16-year-old. Those are both boys, and my only girl is my 15-year-old daughter. But they're awesome kids. We homeschool, and I think that has a lot to do with making them awesome kids, even during the teenage years. I got to tell you, since you brought that up, I'm the fourth of five kids, and the four boys, I have an older brother, older sister, then me, then my younger brother. My mom always says that the four boys combined were easier than my sister during the teenage years. So,
yes, that's definitely true.
You young ladies have just way too much drama going on.
I can't argue with that. Well, you have two boys and a girl. So it's Brayden, Shane, and Octavia.
Yes.
Well, I read in People magazine that you totally predicted the number of kids and if they would be boys or girls.
Well, you know, it's funny. I don't know why I've known this. I was an avid book reader. And there was a book by John Jakes. He did the thing called The Rebel, The Bastard, The Furies, The Titans. He had a series of books, and it dealt with American history, which I really love American history. Don't like the fact that we're trying to erase it now in today's culture, but I do love American history. And something clicked in me in a family in that book where they had boy, boy, girl. And I was 16 years old, and I said, you know what? I'm going to have a boy, boy, and a girl when I get married. That's the order I'm going to have my kids. Well, when I met my wife, when we first started dating, and things were getting serious, I brought that up to her, and she looked at me, and she said, that's exactly what I'm going to have, and I've always wanted to have. Well, we had boy, boy, girl, so some things, I guess, if you just put them out there to the universe, they can actually come true, but now we wish we had more kids, but I'm too old to get kids now.
Oh, did you predict you'd be doing so many documentaries at this point in your career?
You know, not at all. It wasn't something like I wasn't thinking about not doing, but... you know, like when I moved to LA, I didn't think that one day I was going to be Hercules and be on a TV show shooting in New Zealand for 7 years. That little bragging moment here did become the most watched TV show in the world by season three in 176 countries. But the documentary world just sort of really opened up over these last 3-4 years. And I've actually got, I know we're going to talk about at least one here, but I've got a couple out right now as well. And I've got a couple booked for next year, which I'm really looking forward to. And one's going to deal on the a documentary on the disciples, which I think will be very fascinating for people. Then the other one, we're going to be in Jordan and Israel, where the archaeological dig in Jordan recently discovered, they believe it's the first synagogue. So I'm looking forward to doing these things. I find them incredibly educational.
You're asking some really tough questions about your faith in your new documentary, Against the Tide. It's in theaters one night only, November 19th, 2020, via Fathom Events. It's a documentary on the life, work, and mission of legendary University of Oxford professor, mathematician, and philosopher, Dr. John Lennox. Here's a clip.
I believe that the public need to hear that there is another side.
And that's why I'm here, too. To have you help me to understand and follow the evidence.
I do argue that there is evidence for the existence of an intelligent God behind the universe. Christianity answers the question, who is this God?
How do we know that God came here in basically human form? How do we know that?
So how do you answer that question in this film?
Well, John does all the answering, trust me. I mean, there are some moments in there where I ad lib, but being an actor, I like having a script. And trust me, John knows his stuff. And, you know, our production team that put together some really wonderful questions for me to ask. I'm just there as sort of the guideline in the movie. I mean, I get the narrated as well, but I'm also on camera. We shot 3 weeks in Oxford, England. We shot 2 weeks in Israel. It was an amazing trip for me. And John has become a very good friend. We keep in touch via the internet. But this is, I do have to throw out one thing. The Fathom event is the 19th of November, but they also added the 23rd, I believe. So there are two dates on this now. If people go to againstthetide.movie, againstthetide.movie, they can find out, hopefully, a theater near them where they can go support this documentary. And John is just so well versed and so intelligent with this topic. And I think for us Christians out there that are afraid to battle the atheists, this is a great place to get some wonderful bullet points to fight for your cause. But it was just an honor to work with John. It was an honor to be able to take this trip. It was my first trip ever to Israel as well. And that was just an amazing journey for me.
Now, I've never really wanted to go to Israel until the recent years. I don't know what clicked, but now it's in my bucket list. I only have two things on my bucket list, but that's definitely one of them. What stood out the most in your mind when you were there?
Just some of the locations we went to, because we got to go to locations that tourists don't normally get to go to. There was one location off the Via Dolorosa where Jesus walked as he got, well, walked and stumbled as he had to carry the cross before his crucifixion. But there's the church there that is now, it's a church around what used to be a castle, you know, and that's where Pilate was. Pilate was based there. And I got to go up to the area where he stood, where we had he yelled out to the throngs of people out there, which one of these men should I crucify? Which one do you want me to set free? So I stood on that exact same place that, you know, over 2,000 years ago, he stood and with Jesus next to him and sent him to his death. I mean, it was a pretty amazing moment for me to walk on there. And the guy that brought me up wouldn't even walk out there with me. He says, no, I can't go out there. I'm not allowed. He says, you're doing something that very few people get to do. So that was just something that this was like a really, you know, goosebump moment for me to stand there and kind of wow, close my eyes and think back in history. It was pretty amazing.
You and I were both raised Lutheran, which means we were baptized as babies, but I understand you were also baptized in the Jordan River. What was that like?
I've always wanted to do that. That's like, you know, that, you know, Jim's talking about bucket list things. That was something I always wanted to do. But on top of that, I got to, you know, we had the pastor, you know, baptizing us, but I got to actually dip my wife and my three kids into the river. So I was part of that process with them. We got it all on tape. And you're right about the Lutheran thing. I mean, what was I, 3 weeks old or something? I don't know. So obviously there's no memory of it. So it was nice to have, you know, a memory now that can stick with me that we got baptized there. You know, yeah, and there's something commercial about it. But at the same time, once you get out in the river and you get away from all the, you know, the trinkets and everything that they're selling there. And I was kind of blown away. John and I remember walking around town. There's so many vendors selling, you know, Bibles and crosses and wood carvings and stuff. And John says, isn't this disgusting? And I said, no, John. I said, God, Jesus is just proving that capitalism is a good thing. It's like, and we got a good laugh on it. So they didn't keep it in the program. I thought it was a funny thing to say at the time.
For how intelligent he is, he seems very approachable.
Very, very easygoing guy. I mean, he's got, if you've seen the movie, if you've seen any of his debates against, you know, world-renowned atheists like Dawkins and Hitchens and stuff, and you see these guys just pulling their hair out, as John just sits back there and kills them with love and kindness and humor, and he's got this Winnie the Pooh kind of voice about him and stuff, you don't see him get angry. He just sits there and just kills them with just a very simple approach. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful to see how he handles situations that could easily turn into a, you know, screaming debate or yelling debate. You know, my God's better than your non-God or whatever, you know. And that just doesn't happen with him. And it was a very good experience for me to watch something like that as well.
Well, speaking of that, how did making this movie impact your faith?
You know, I've always been a person of faith. Like I said, you know, I grew up in Minnesota, the Lutheran, being a Norwegian guy is kind of typical for that part of the country where a lot of people settled when they left the old country and came to America. And so it's always sort of been there for me. I think if anything was a bigger moment for me in terms of my faith journey, I guess, was when I was a teenager, when we all went to see the Reverend Billy Graham speak at the St. Paul Fairgrounds. Outside, it was like 200,000 people there. The moon was out. It was a hot August night. And I was just compelled to walk up afterwards and meet with one of the many volunteers that they had there to talk. And I was sitting on the grass and, we were just talking. We weren't praying. We weren't doing anything. I was just talking with this guy. And all of a sudden, a hand went on my head and I turned around and it was the Reverend Billy Graham. And his head was perfectly covering the moon. And there's like this glow around him, this, music moment. I was waiting for the music to cue. And it just, and he prayed for me. And it was just such a huge blessing. And then years later, I did a Chicken Soup for the Soul book. And then they followed up with the Chicken Soup for the Soul book for the Reverend Billy Graham. And they had never done a hardcover before, but that was the only time they ever did a hardcover book. Well, they asked me to tell that story. I told that story and we get a call. After the book came out from the Reverend's PR team, they said, he's well into his 90s. He can't make the trip to do the publicity on this, but he loved your story. He laughed at your story about when you guys met. And he would love it if you would have time to travel the country to do the promotional work on the book. And I said, yeah. I said, I'm more than honored to do that. So, far from being a perfect person myself, there's nobody perfect out there. As they all say, don't look at the speck in your brother's eye, but the log in your own. I mean, I've done a lot of dumb things in my life, but I've never lost my faith. I've never lost my belief. So I think that's helped me through the thick and thin times of my life.
You did go through another season that really tested your faith, though, at the end of season 5 of Hercules. Can you talk about that health struggle you walked through?
Yeah, here I'm playing Hercules. I was in pretty darn good shape. I was in my 30s in better shape than most guys that were in their 20s. And I started having problems with my left arm. I couldn't quite figure what was going on. But the reality is, I was doing my own stunts. And I was taking bumps and cuts and bruises and sprains all the time. So I blew it off. And we finished season 5 in New Zealand. I came back to America to do promotional work on my first big budget movie for Universal Studios. And finally, my arm just felt like it was on fire. I went to see my doctor. They found a lump up in my shoulder. Before they could do a biopsy on it, I went to see my chiropractor. Now, in 8 years of seeing my chiropractor, he's never cracked my neck because I don't like my neck cracked. And he's well aware of that. He's never, ever cracked it. Well, while I'm laying on the table, I heard a voice warning me over and over, don't let him crack your neck. Do not let him crack your neck. And I thought, what a weird thing to hear. So I'm arguing with his voice. He cracks my neck. Well, that bump, lump in my shoulder ended up being an aneurysm that for months had been spitting off blood clots down into my left arm, cutting off the supply of blood to my fingers. That's why they were cold and numb all the time. Well, that crack also sent a series of clots into my brain. I suffered strokes. So I went from a guy that felt invincible to a guy that didn't stand up or walk anymore. I had to learn to balance again, walk again. It took me 3 years to fully recover. It was a long, long road for me. My wife bugged me to write a book, and I didn't want to do it initially, but I think the male ego didn't want to show how weak I'd become in front of my fans' eyes, but I ended up writing the book. It's called True Strength, My Journey from Hercules to Mere Mortal and How Nearly Dying Saved My Life, and that came out in 2012, and it opened up another door. You mentioned doing documentaries. It opened up another door I thought I'd never go through, and that's doing speaking events. And so I do about a dozen speaking events a year now across the country. Speaking at medical facilities in front of doctors, nurses, neurologists, or because of my faith, it's actually turned into more pro-life, Christian education, motivational speaking. So it's a whole new road for me. It's been fascinating and exciting for me. And the book has been a godsend. I initially, like I said, didn't want to do it. My wife strong-armed me into doing it. And now I meet people of all walks of life that have gone through, cancer, heart attacks, strokes, car crash, whatever it may be, We all hit a roadblock in our life. And how are you going to react to that roadblock? You're going to blame God. You're going to blame family, friends. The reality is you got to look in the mirror and say, okay, it happened. Now, what are you going to do about it? And thank God with my strong upbringing from my parents and the strong will that was cultivated from that, I pushed through what many neurologists didn't believe I'd be able to get any kind of, you know, full functioning back. And the head neurologist at the Cedars-Sinai Hospital in L.A. and also at the USC Medical Clinic wrote chapters on me in their book, just saying, you know, it's a miracle what this guy did. But I think a lot of it comes down to not only faith, but I think it comes down to a lot of having a strong support team around you, but also having a strong will. And that's what true strength is, really a play on words, because in Hercules, I had a bunch of stunt guys making me look like a big stud. And the reality is, in life, real life, you got to find your own true strength to get through the problems that come at us, because God never promised life was going to be easy. And I think we have to learn from all those rough times in our lives and keep pushing forwards. I think that makes you a stronger and better person.
Wow, Kevin, that's some good stuff. Well, we're going to take a break, but when we return, we're going to talk about the really important stuff, Chick-fil-A.
What if your clothes reflected your faith? Hey friends, Allison here. I want to tell you about a brand I recently discovered. It's called Elevated Faith. And if you love Chick-fil-A, which I know you do, or you wouldn't be listening to this podcast, you'll love Elevated Faith. How do I know? Because their mission is what sets them apart. Not only are their clothes and accessories really cool, I especially love the Woman of God crew neck in the heather mustard color. So cozy, so cute. But these clothes are actually bringing hope to the world. How? Well, two ways. Let's say someone says, Allison, I love that sweatshirt you're wearing. It's an easy conversation starter for me to share my faith. And that could lead to a life-changing experience. The other way your purchase has power, a portion of every sale is donated to a ministry bringing hope to those that desperately need it. So do me a favor, check out elevatedfaith.com, and as an added bonus, use the code MYPLEASURE, all one word, to save 20% on your purchase site-wide. That's elevatedfaith.com. Use the code MYPLEASURE to save 20% on everything.
Well, welcome back. We're talking to Hercules, which we also call Kevin Sorbo. Now, I was referring earlier how I, too, was being mistaken for Hercules a lot out in the street, but it might have been Urkel. They kind of sound a lot alike. I'm
Urkel.
Not sure.
That's funny.
Well, I kind of see some similarities between Kevin Sorbo in Hollywood and what Chick-fil-A is to the fast food industry. I mean, you're a Christian in Hollywood. You're familiar with what that means in terms of being ridiculed and excluded from certain things because of your faith. And I wonder if you do see some similarities between what you face and what Chick-fil-A seems to face in the business world.
Oh, there's no question. What I find fascinating is every time they come out against Chick-fil-A for something that's been said within the management or whatever else, and you get the groups that want to go out there and say, boycott Chick-fil-A. And then you look at the next day and you realize, oh, they got, you know, lines are three times longer than they normally are. And they're long all the time anyway. So I guess it's the old adage in Hollywood. They say bad publicity and good publicity, it's all the same. It's good to help you in one way or another. I did a movie I directed called Let There Be Light. I hope your listeners have not seen it. Please check it out. It's a wonderful movie. It's been about 3 months in theaters. It's now streaming on Amazon. But in that movie, we actually threw in a Chick-fil-A line, a positive Chick-fil-A line. So it's there. It's in the movie. I don't know if the Kathys are aware of it, but it's definitely there.
Dean Cain was in your movie, right?
He was in God's Not Dead with me.
Was there? Do you ever get into fights off camera or anything with Hercules and Superman?
You know, it's a funny story about that because Dean and I were down to the last two guys for that role in Lois and Clark. And we both did a screen test with Terry Hatcher. That night, my manager called and said, you got the role. You're going to be Superman. And then the next day, Warner Brothers called up and said, no, we changed our mind. We're going Dean Cain. So talk about the ups and the downs of the business. And then 3 months later, I got the role of Hercules. So I always say, and Dean's well aware of this because we're very good friends, I say, you know, Dean, my show in 7 years became the most watched show in the world. And you got canceled after 3 years. So I guess I'm okay with everything the way it turned out. So, but Dean's a great guy. We keep in touch as well. We're trying to raise money for our next movie. It's called The Carpool Lane. It's a faith-based movie, and we're hoping to raise money for it. Here's the frustrating thing of the movies that we do, and Dean does a lot of these as well. We do movies that have a good message, have a positive message. I don't like all the same faith-based, because not all of them are faith-based, but they're family-friendly, and they have good messages about hope, love, redemption, things that we're missing in the world right now. So I love the movies that we do, but the hardest thing is trying to raise money for them. You know, I get stopped all the time through airports, hotel lobbies. People say, oh, please make more movies like God's Not Dead and What If and Soul Surfer, please. We love those movies. Well, then you got to support them. And, you know, we're battling $300 million movies that Hollywood does, you know, and these are huge movies. They have all the PR money in the world. We're doing these lower budget movies, but they're not low budget looking. They're great movies with great message. And, you know, to find somebody to throw $3 or $4 million at it, that sounds like a lot. That's a catering budget on Pirates of the Caribbean or an Avengers movie. I mean, seriously, $3-4 million is catering budget for those movies. So we're just trying to keep fighting the good fight, because you see what's going on in our culture right now. You see the negative things coming out. You see the violence and the anger and the hate that movies like love to spew, and the evil that comes out in these things. And, you know, we're trying to do movies that have a positive impact. So we need more people to support what we do. And hopefully there's somebody out there listening and wants to jump on board and be part of the team.
You have another movie coming out I'd love to talk about. Faith Under Fire hits theaters November 27th. And speaking of Dean Cain, I think he's in that too, right?
Dean is that. We didn't work together on that one at all, but he plays a pastor. I play a doctor. We're in there more of like little cameo roles. But it's the title is, I love the title on it. Joel Riesig, who directed it, he's a good friend of ours. Dean and I have worked with him a number of times. So it's a wonderful movie dealing with a fireman. So hence, you know, Faith Under Fire, there's the fire bit right there, but it deals metaphorically as well, where, he's lost his wife to cancer, and now his young daughter is very ill as well. And I'm her doctor in the hospital. So, it's one of these stories that, once again, that, you know, life does throw these curveballs at all of us. And what do you do when that curveball's thrown at you? And, his faith is now under fire. I mean, when I got my strokes, I've always been a person of faith, but I never needed faith more than I ever did when I hit those, that health issue in my life. So, this movie deals with that and deals with it in a wonderful way that will leave people, you know, laughing and crying and clapping and, you know, finding more positive things in the world, which I just mentioned earlier, we need. We see all the anger and the rioting and the looting and all these things going on in our country right now, and let alone around the world. We need more movies that have uplifting messages, and Faith Under Fire is one of those.
Well, it's pretty easy to be a Christian in Hollywood, isn't it?
Yes. It's very, very easy. Being a Christian and a conservative, I'm like a double leper. So here's the reality. I was with an agency for a long time, managing a long time, and we parted ways. They said, we can't get you through the doors anymore. No one wants to work with you because of your politics and your being a Christian. And I find that so pathetic. I mean, here's an industry that screams for tolerance and freedom of speech. They shove it down their throats constantly every day, but they don't, it's all a one-way street with them. I don't have a problem with somebody who has a different political viewpoint than me. I don't have that anger that they hold. I find it sad and almost comical at the same time that people get so worked up and so riled. And to me, that it just points how empty and dark their personal lives are, that they're just looking for anything to hold on to, even if it's negative. And it's sad. And I think the best thing we can do is pray for them. But at the same time, it's like, I find it so ridiculous that people can get that angry about somebody having a different viewpoint.
Yeah, well, it's time for another break. But when we come back, Food for Thought with Kevin Sorbo.
Before 2020, you probably never thought you'd have a collection of face masks, but that's just the world we live in right now. Well, make your mask stash more moveless with one of our cow print face masks. Right now, we're giving one away free with every order at ChickFilePodcast.com. Use the code KIDMASK for a free children's mask, or coupon code ADULTMASK for a free adult mask. That's KIDMASK, all one word, or ADULTMASK, all one word, to get your free cow print face mask. This offer is available while supplies last at ChickFiletPodcast.com.
Well, welcome back. It's time for Food for Thoughts. Kevin, answer these 10 questions quicker than a trip through the Chick-fil-A drive-thru. Are you ready?
Okay.
Have you ever worked at a Chick-fil-A?
I have not, but I eat there a lot.
If you did work at Chick-fil-A, what job would you like to have?
I want to be the guy outside, and I don't have to wear a mask. They probably still make me wear one, but I like to be outside so I can have fresh air.
Nice. What's your favorite sauce?
The Chick-fil-A sauce.
All right. If you could only order one menu item for the rest of your life, what would it be?
The spicy chicken. I love the spicy one.
What menu item have you never tried?
Wow. I think you guys make a soup, right? I don't think I've tried the soup yet.
They have a soup? I'm sorry.
They do. They do. I'm pretty sure.
Well, I guess I've never tried it either. So, have you ever dressed up like a cow to get free chicken?
I have not. Probably won't happen either.
You're probably too big anyway. What celebrity would you like to eat nuggets with?
Alive or dead?
They're more fun when they're alive.
Okay. Well, you know what I mean. I mean, sometimes I've been asked, who's your favorite golf foursome if you could golf with anybody in the history of the world? So who would I like to eat? Oh, my gosh. That's kind of a tough one. That's kind of a tough one, but I'm going to
say Dean Cain.
I'll say Dean Cain to make him feel good. Dean Cain, sure.
There you go. He'll be happy now. All right. How many nuggets do you think you can eat in one sitting?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I'll say 28.
No.
You're Hercules, man. How many points do you have on your Chick-fil-A rewards?
I have no idea. That's not my wife's phone number, not mine.
Okay.
I'll say 37 million.
Probably accurate. Are you team nuggets or team strips?
Team nuggets.
Yes.
But are you really, if you say you can only eat 28?
I don't know. I'm going to get it. What do they normally? They come in 12, right? Don't they come in boxes 6 or 12 or something?
Yeah, but everybody.
I eat 12 pretty easily.
Okay. I feel like I could eat more than 28.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
She's a pig.
That seems like a lot to me. I don't know. Right. I'm not one to go for the gorge thing anyway. So
I don't know why I just pictured you going and ordering like the platter of nuggets.
So 136 or whatever they are.
Does your whole family like Chick-fil-A?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We go there quite a bit, and we live in Florida now. We left L.A. a couple years ago, but there's two just on both sides of us within about 3 miles.
Ah, that sounds like a slice of heaven.
It is. It's all good.
Well, thank you so much for your time again. Kevin's new movies are Against the Tide. It's in theaters November 19th via Fathom Events. And the hope-filled drama Faith Under Fire hits theaters November 27th. Anything else you'd like to add, Kevin?
I do. Well, number one, I want to plug KevinSorbo.net. Go to KevinSorbo.net. All kinds of information on there. You got to whatever my movies are coming up, social media to follow, merchandise, DVDs, scripts, all that stuff is there. But also, please check out Before the Wrath. It's the number one Christian movie out there right now. It's another documentary. It came out 4 months ago on Amazon. It's still the number one Christian movie out there, BeforeTheWrath.com. It's a wonderful documentary on the book of Revelation. You'll find it very educational.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
If you enjoyed today's show, please do what a Chick-fil-A team member would do. Politely pass this goodness on to a friend. Take a screenshot, share it on social media, and help us spread the word. Until next time, stay tender and saucy, my friends.
Special thanks to our sound engineer, me, and our co-host, also me. This episode of My Pleasure, the unofficial Chick-fil-A podcast, was written and produced by Allison Storm, but it was edited by me. For more information about me, visit manmadeproductions.com. That's man with two N's, madeproductions.com.